Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die,
thank you, Brother Dawson. That was really good. I like that. So good to be here today. Anyone have anything you want to say before I read my lesson? All right. If not, if you'll turn with me to the book of Hebrews, I want to read a few verses from chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I'll read the first four verses, and then I'm going to skip down and read verses 9 and 10. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. And now verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now that's my lesson for today. And I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. I want to use as my thought for today the great salvation. The great salvation. The Apostle Paul is, I believe, the writer of the book of Hebrews. There's no signature attached to the book. But I think the doctrine of the book and the way that it is written, it certainly is the style that Paul used and the doctrine that he taught. And I believe he was the writer. But he started the book by talking about how that God at sundry times and in divers manners, that is many times and in many different ways, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. But he has spoken unto us in these last days by his dear Son, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's not saying that God has changed, that he gave one message through the prophets and a different message through the Lord Jesus. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith, it is the same in all generations. It has never changed. It remains the same. But the prophets spoke about the coming of the Lord and about the what he would do when he came into this world. It was told that he would be born of a virgin. The Holy Ghost moved or overshadowed Mary, and she conceived and gave birth to God's Son. And she was told to name him Jesus, and his name means Savior. That's why Jesus came to this world, is to be our Savior, to provide salvation for us, so that we could escape the damnation of hell. Now, we're all sinners by nature. It's really hard to preach a sermon without saying that. We're all sinners, and we all need to be saved. And Jesus, the Bible says, tasted death for every man. In other words, he made it possible for every person to come to God through him and be saved. And I say through him because Jesus paid the debt for our sins. He bore our iniquities on the cross. He suffered as our substitute. He became our propitiation. Now, we didn't have anything to offer God to redeem ourselves. We had nothing to redeem ourselves with. But Jesus, being the Son of God and being without sin, he could offer his perfect life as a ransom for those of us who are imperfect. And that's what he did. He died on the cross. And so I could go into a lot of detail about this. But this is the story that we have heard. And this is what Paul was having reference to. That which we have heard. He said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Now, that means that we should pay close attention and listen very carefully to what the Word of God has said, because it's very important. We're all human beings. We're all going to die. And only those who have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus will go to heaven when they die. And so we need to, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to have your sins forgiven, if you want to be a child of God and be an heir of God and be able to go to that place that Jesus said, I go to prepare for you, then we need to pay very close attention to what the Bible says we must do in order to go there. And so he said, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which have been spoken, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, I don't know about you, but I, from a personal standpoint, you know, I hear things, and it's no time passes until I have let them slip out of my memory. I have forgotten them. Or perhaps we hear things and we just ignore it. We just let it go. But this is one subject that no one should let slip. You should not let it pass without giving your most earnest attention or heed to what the Bible has to say about salvation. Now, the Bible said if the word that was spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression, that sin, every sin, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 that sin is the transgression of the law. So, breaking the law of God is sin. And the Bible says this in the book of James. It says that if you break one commandment, you're guilty of all. Now, that don't mean you have broken every commandment, but it means you're a sinner. If you've broken one commandment, you're a sinner, just as much as you would be if you'd broken every commandment. And so every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Now, God is a just God. God is a merciful God. And God is a loving God. But also, a God is a God of justice, and he doesn't reward the wicked, and he doesn't punish the just. He is just, and every transgression and every disobedience is punished. Now, the Bible says this in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. That the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Adam sinned, and he brought death upon himself and upon his entire posterity. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after that, there is the judgment, you see. That's what I've just tried to explain. Death, there's death, and then there is the judgment. And so the wages of sin, that's what you get out of living in sin, you know, is death. Adam, is the federal head of the human family. The human family started with Adam. Don't be misled by what people teach today about the origin of man. Man did not spring from a monkey He did not, spring from some lower form of life. God created man in his own likeness and after his own image. He created man. He made him a full-grown man. Adam didn't have to go to school. God endowed him with knowledge. And he was able to have communication with God. You see, God made Adam a spirit being, and he gave him a body to live in. And that's why when a person dies, the spirit leaves the body, and the body is lifeless, but the spirit continues to live. And so Adam sinned and brought death upon himself, and he brought death upon us as well. But physical death is not the end, you see. The soul of man, we sing that song sometimes, where the soul of man never dies. And there is such a place. In fact, there are two places where the soul of man never dies. One of them is heaven. It's the place that Jesus made possible for us. The other place is hell. It was not made for mankind. It was made for the devil and his angels. But you know, if you don't get right with God, you are following the devil, you see. Hell was made for the devil and his followers. We're reading the Bible about Satan. He was created as a dark archangel. And he led a rebellion against God. And he intended to overthrow God and take over the throne from him. But he was cast out. And he was cast down. The Bible says, that hell was prepared for the devil. Now, the devil's not in hell yet. He was cast out into the earth. The Bible says that the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh up and down through the earth, seeking whom he may devour. And so the devil, he is loose and he is alive. And his main objective is to deceive people, to drag them down with him. He wants to do that in order to rob God of the honor and the glory that he should have and that he deserves. And so Satan is trying to deceive people and to keep them in their sins, to keep them from turning to Jesus, to keep them from being born of the Spirit, to keep them from having eternal life and be able to go to heaven when they die. So the heaven is prepared for man. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But God also prepared a way where man could escape the damnation of hell. You don't have to go to hell. I'm telling you today that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the Bible says in this lesson that I read in your hearing, how shall we escape? I thought about in Matthew chapter 23, maybe verse 23. Jesus talked with the Pharisees. And they were very religious, but they were hypocrites. They professed to be righteous, but they were not righteous at all. They were pretending. And Jesus called them hypocrites. He said, you're like whited sepulchers. A whited sepulcher would be a burial above ground. There's some right up here beside the road, you know. There are sepulchers. And the bodies are put in the sepulchers. And the building that they're in is attractive. It's pretty. But on the inside, the same things happen. The same thing happens to that body that would happen to it if it were just cast out by the side of the road. It's going to decompose, and it's going to go back to dust. But the spirit of that person is either going to heaven or going to hell, one of the two. And so these hypocrites, they pretended. Jesus said, you make white the outside of the sepulcher. And it's very beautiful. But on the inside, it's full of dead men's bones, you know. And he said lots of things to them. But the thing I wanted to point out was, he said, O generation of vipers, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? Now, there's only one way to escape the damnation of hell. There's only one way. The only way is through the Lord Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 17, he said, he that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You see, when we were born, sinners. We had a nature of sin. And we will sin. All have sinned. Doesn't mean all, but you know, a few. It means all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we're all sinners. And sin is to blame for all sorrow. Sin is to blame for death. Sin is to blame for sickness. Sin is to blame for wars and rumors of wars. All of these things that we suffer in this world, it's a result of sin. And sin is going to take us to the grave. Our bodies, our physical bodies, will go to the grave. But you can escape the real you. Your spirit and your soul can escape the damnation of hell. You can be saved and you can enjoy this great salvation that the Lord Jesus has provided for us. Now, I want to read this third verse. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If you put it off, if you just try to forget about it, if you don't want to think about it, you just let it slip by you, you know, and you don't take advantage of the opportunities that God has given to you, one day the last opportunity will come, and there will be no more opportunities to get right with God. I thought about this. You're the only one that can do anything about it. You know, I can preach to you and others can preach to you as well. I want to turn to the book of Timothy. I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 6, if I'm not mistaken. And let me see if I can find that passage of Scripture. I may not be able to find it. But the Apostle Paul, we're talking about those who live out their lives. Maybe it's the second chapter instead of the sixth chapter. I think it is. And the 25th and 26th verses. Just give me just a moment. All right. Here it is. Paul said, flee youthful lust. follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But he said, foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strifes. Now he's talking to the preacher now, writing to Timothy. He said, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. He said, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, then that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, I'm going to get this in the proper context if I can. You know, he said, we are teachers of the Word of God. We're preachers. We must be meek. And we must be not strive. And we must be gentle unto all men. And we must be patient, you know. We can't force salvation on anybody. We want to let everybody know the availability of salvation. God has provided a plan that's within reach of every person. Every person. The Bible says that God is long-suffering to us. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we can't force salvation upon anybody, but we can tell you about it. The Bible calls the gospel the good news. I've got good news for you. There's a way to be saved, and you can have salvation. And he said, in meekness we instruct. We share this information, and we tell you what God requires of you to be saved. And that's what preaching is. That's what sharing the gospel is. Telling you about God's way for people to be saved. And he said, instructing them that oppose themselves. Again, I say, you're the only one that can do anything about being lost and in sin. Lots of times people sit under the sound of the gospel and they don't heed it. They don't pay attention to it. They ignore it, you know. They don't seek to be saved. They don't call upon the Lord for salvation. And so, he says, they oppose themselves. Do you know that by rejecting the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and by, you know, persistence in sin, that you are hurting yourself? You're not doing yourself a favor at all by ignoring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are opposing yourself. You're doing things that will be hurtful to you rather than beneficial to you. And he said, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves. They may recover themselves. That's why I say you're the only one can do anything about it. It's a personal thing. You have to personally come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to come to Him in faith, believing. You have to believe because you have taken heed to the things that you've heard. You have heard the gospel truth, and you believe it, and you're acting upon of what the Bible says in faith, and you've forsaken sin, and you've come to Jesus, and you're asking Him to forgive you of your sins and trusting in Him for life and salvation. Now, Satan is, he is God's enemy. He's God's enemy. Satan, I already told you, he lifted up himself against God. He became God's enemy. God didn't make him His enemy. He became God's enemy. And he is the adversary of every one of God's children. He opposes every move toward God. Satan does. He doesn't want anybody to be saved. He opposes that. And so the Bible says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. See, he sets traps, and he deceives, and he whispers in the ear of those that are moved by the gospel. You've got plenty of time, you know. You're young. You've got lots of things you want to do before you get saved. So no use of responding to the gospel today. Just sit still and it'll pass, you know. It'll pass by. Well, you're doing yourself great harm when you do that. And I believe today that God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I want to get back over here just a minute, and I'm going to try to get finished here very quickly. I don't want to preach too long. But listen, this is what the Bible says in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, about recovering from sin and about getting loose from the devil. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, it is. And this is what it says. Paul was giving thanks to God for these Christians at Colossae. And he said, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us. Salvation is a deliverance. It is a deliverance. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. And Satan is the prince of darkness. And Satan does have great influence in the hearts of people. And he has dragged many lost people down to hell. And it says that he hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. If you've never been saved, you're not a child of God. If you've never been saved, you're not an heir of God. If you've never been saved, you're not going to heaven. Heaven is the place where God's people are going. If you've been saved, you will escape the damnation of hell. But if you haven't been saved, that's where you'll spend eternity. Now listen, I want to give you just a little bit more. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. When you're saved, you're delivered from the power of sin. That is the consequences of sin. Sin will not have dominion over you. The wages of sin is death. But if you get saved, you're not going to die. You have eternal life. And you're going to live forever. And you're going to live with God in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want you to think about that very seriously today, because today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. Now, in closing, I just want to speak just personally to you. I want you to know I love you. I don't want you to miss heaven. That's why I'm telling you the truth. I've spoken plainly today. And you may think it's harsh, you know. But I'm telling you that out of a heart of love for your soul, I've told you the truth today. And I want you to go to heaven. I don't want you to die without God. I just want to ask you, have you been saved? Do you have a time and a place in your life when the Holy Spirit convicted you of your sins? You came to know beyond the shadow of a doubt, I'm lost. I'm not right with God. And in that conviction, you called upon God, and God delivered you. He set you free, took that burden of sin away, gave you peace and joy in your heart. Do you have that experience? I believe every person that's saved has that experience. It may be more, spectacular for some than it was for others. Paul, he was on the road to Damascus, and there's a light from heaven shined on him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard the Lord speak audibly to him. Well, that didn't happen to me. I was just sitting in a church like you are, and I was young. I was about 10 and a half years old at that time. But during a sermon that was being preached by an old-fashioned preacher, that sermon made me aware that I was lost. God's Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and convicted me. I felt condemned. I felt lost. I felt without God. And I didn't like feeling like that. I wanted to be saved. I wanted to be saved. Have you ever had an experience like that in your heart? You might not have been in a church. You might have been somewhere else. I was at home when I got saved. And when I got saved, all of that condemnation and that burden of sin just instantly was gone. I was no longer under condemnation. This is what Paul said, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That condemnation's gone. And you have peace with God. You have peace with God. Have you been delivered from sin? Are you still in the prison house of Satan? Are you still being held captive by him? Are you letting him rule your life? Are you listening to him and putting off salvation? There's a song that says, don't put off salvation too long. Don't put off salvation too long. Second, maybe first chapter of Hebrews. The Apostle Paul said, today, if you hear his voice, if God's speaking to you, today is the time. Today is the accepted time. While God is drawing you and while his love is reaching out to you, that's the time to forsake sin. And that's the time to come to Jesus
And that's the time to say, oh Lord, I'm lost. I need to be saved. Your word said you'd save me. I'm coming to you based on the word of God. The Bible said you have to believe the record that God gave of His Son. That's when you give heed to that which has been spoken. You believe the record that God gave concerning His Son. He died for you, and He died that you could be saved. But also you have to put your faith and trust in the person of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the Savior. Baptism is not a Savior. Church membership is not a Savior. Good works is not a Savior. Jesus is the Savior. And you have to put your faith and trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone. And God will help you do that if you want to be saved. I believe that as much as I believe I'm standing here. That God will help you if you want to be saved. And He'll draw you, you know, if you'll just yield. And you'll just keep yielding to that conviction. And yielding to that feeling that you need salvation. You need the Lord. If you'll just keep on yielding and giving in to the Spirit of God, He'll bring you right to Jesus, where you can trust in Him and be saved from your sins. I read the 9th and the 10th verses from this book. And this is what it says. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste of death for every man. Then it tells us this, for it became Him, for whom are all things, and by Him, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now, Jesus suffered and died, and He did it. He did it for a reason, that He might bring many sons and daughters unto glory. Jesus paid it all. And that great salvation, I could have gone in a different way. I've heard this subject preached on many times. I've preached on it a few times myself before. But I've tried to follow the leadership of the Spirit today. And I've tried to say what God wanted me to say. But Jesus died. And that's the only way. The only way to escape the damnation of hell is to come to Jesus. Now, we haven't started our meeting yet, and Satan say, well, you wait till tomorrow night. That's when the revival starts. It's not tonight. But again, if you hear His voice, if God's speaking to you, you'll never have a better time than right now to seek the Lord. I want to give you that opportunity. I hope today, I pray today, that God will move in the heart of every lost person present here today. Not because of what I have said, but because of what God has said. Because of what God has said. I want us to stand. I want us to sing an old-fashioned invitation song. I want you to follow the Lord today. You need salvation. We're living in perilous times. Every day gets worse and worse. One day the last opportunity will be given. You say, don't try to scare me. I'm not trying to scare you. But I hope you will be scared. I hope you'll be afraid to walk out them doors without knowing God today. You can know Him. While we stand, while we sing, would you come to Jesus?
397.